Hello and welcome to one more episode of the podcast that we do. This time we're going to talk about a merger of Rahagar and Anubhav both. So this is an Anubhav podcast, but also has a lot of mention of Rahagar because the properties of Rahagar are actually used in the Anubhav itinerary. And when I say Rahagar, it's the homestays that we use here. I've come a little further away from Pune, the location of the last three podcast recording. I've come to Bangalore, and today I'm going to talk to a very close friend of mine who's the owner of Lola, your beautiful Mexican canteen. And she's going to come and talk to us about Bhutan, just because 2 years ago she had mentioned about going there. So I just caught on to that opportunity and, you know, got her here to talk to us. I would like to welcome Sejal. Sejal, hi. Welcome to her podcast.
So happy to be here. This is probably the first time I'm talking on a podcast, guys. So do excuse my casualness about it.
This is meant to be casual.
Oh, lovely. So yes, before you ask me, I have been thinking and imagining how beautiful Bhutan might be for the longest time now. So very excited to talk about it with you.
Before even we get to Bhutan, it's very important that I would like to talk to my people about why to fly to Bhutan directly to Paro. That's number one. And number two, how many days does Bhutan really take? Those are two questions that I would like to, you know, address here. And of course, we will talk about all random things here and there.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, why do you even want to go to Bhutan?
Oh, it's very interesting you bring that up. I mean, you know, it's been out there, like no matter where you look up for vacation spots close to India, Bhutan's always showing up. And it's like this cute little culture, you know, in our fast-paced life, you can only dream of going to a place that pretty and that slow. So it's something I've always looked forward to.
I'm glad you used the word slow, because that's one of our ideas of this travel is slow travel. Hmm. And actually, traveling slow means spending more time in a place, right? I mean, unless I spend more time in a place, how will you lower the pace of your travel? If you want to see everything in 7 days, that's a possibility.
Hmm.
But in Marathi, we call it bhujja travel. It's like touch and go, which we don't want to do here. And especially because you said, and that picture is in a lot of people's mind, that Bhutan is, you know, a country where everything is really, it's like traveling back in time, taking it easy, taking it slow, talking to the people there. And that's why we have this 10-day trip. I think you, as an owner of a cafe, which you've been running for the last 5 years, how many days can you spare?
You know, realistically speaking, I had like a 1 week time frame in mind where I can make it possible. I can maybe stretch it to 8 to 9 days, but 11-day vacation kind of intimidates me a little because I can't be away from my work for that long.
Yeah, and you and Vishwesh, your husband, runs the place together, right?
Right.
And are you like planning to come with him? Because I don't think you can come with him because someone has to be there.
That too. And I'm not sure he's very keen on going there. So that brings me to another concern of mine. Do you think traveling solo is doable or economical or even possible for that matter for a place like Bhutan?
Yeah, solo, like, so you can travel solo in a group, because traveling solo is something which is very difficult in Bhutan, because all travel has to be monitored by the central government, and only the guides and the travel agencies can arrange a trip. And like in India, you can take a car and go anywhere you want. Bhutan is a little difficult on that front.
How is it?
But let's address the first question again, which was about how many days to be idly spending there.
Yeah.
And since you said 8 to 10 days is a little stretch, so those 10 days, it's important that we spend in Bhutan and not traveling to and from Bhutan. And which gets me to the first, you remember the first thing we talk about is like why to go there by flight.
Right.
Because if you land at Baghdogra Airport and you go there by flight from Bangalore, in this case, which is convenient. It's a 2.5 hour flight. But once you reach there, it's a 2 day journey. So you're taking a 2 hour flight, then a 2 day journey to reach Thimphu, and the same on the return. So in turn, you're spending 4 days in your itinerary just to traveling to and fro.
Oh, wow.
Which might feel like that time has been spent in Bhutan, but it's not true.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about like an 8 day itinerary, you only have 4 days in Bhutan.
Hmm.
And that becomes a stretch. And that's why for people who are professionals like you, for them, it's beautiful to fly into Bhutan and cover the length and breadth of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if there was any option that would allow me to see more places locally than to spend on travel, I can imagine it might be a little more expensive, but I think that's a totally good use of the time and money.
Yeah, because you go to a place only once.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of people who I know, and this happens through the friends that have been there, and they have loved Bhutan, but the place that they speak about the most, like the Tiger's Nest Monastery in Paro or the temple in Punaka, is a very, like, I won't call it regular, but it's a nice little place, but it should not be the highlight of your trip. Like Taj Mahal can't be the highlight of your India trip. Like everybody knows about Taj Mahal. Machu Picchu can't be a trip highlight for South America. I mean, if you go and tell people, hey, you know what, I saw Machu Picchu, it's so great. Like, okay, fine, what did you do other than Machu Picchu is the question. And here in Bhutan, what did you really do other than the three most common places? Do you know the three common places? Have you seen the map of Bhutan?
I have, but honestly, I only know of those three places. And if you're trying to tell me that's not even the highlight of it, then I'm very ignorant right now.
I'm not going to do a geography quiz here, but those three places are... Do you know which are those three places?
Yeah, I believe they're Paro, Thimphu, and Punaka.
And that's a very mugged up answer.
It is. That's all I've ever seen on any, the Pinterest, how to plan your Bhutan trip.
Yeah. And the problem is that a lot of itineraries rotate around these three places. And the people who study Bhutan only study these three places in the itineraries. They don't really look at the map of Bhutan. So the point we are driving here is that the amount of time that you save traveling to and from Bhutan, let's say if you give that time to traveling to the east of Bhutan, that's where the real Bhutan is right now.
Oh, okay.
And Bhutan has one road that connects the east to the west or the west to the east. Let's say you have a Kanyakumari to Kashmir highway. But here we know that we can go by road from Kanyakumari to Kashmir and then fly from there. Here you can't fly. So the further away you go into Bhutan, you have to drive back, and that takes a lot of time. So so that's one challenge that comes to people when they plan their itinerary. Do you still want to travel for 6-7 days, or you think of 10 days?
I would love to have the privilege, to travel for 10 days. And because, like you said, it is a once-in-a-lifetime trip. And I do want to make the most out of it. I believe you guys have two itineraries. One is the 10-day and one is the 7-day.
Oh, have you seen the Rahagar page as well?
Yes. And I'm very interested and curious about that.
Oh, so the reason that Rahagar comes in here, and for the people who are listening to me for the first time on Anubhav's podcast, we run a parallel podcast of Rahagar. So Rahagar goes and kind of researches on homestays and which are the place better than Bhutan. Because the whole concept of travel in Bhutan started from homestays and not from hotels. Because let's understand the fact that Bhutan developed in terms of tourism at least 30 to 40 years after India developed. In terms of the roads and all of those things. So, and now Bhutan it controls the kind of people that come, the number of people that come. And it's a very beautiful kind of a place. And just to give justice to the image that you have in your mind. Have you stayed in homestays before? Like, because we're talking about homestays.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up. The answer is unfortunately not.
Like, you haven't?
I haven't.
Okay.
I have a certain bias in my head that a hotel might always be a little more hygienic and comfortable versus what I imagine a homestay is.
Yeah. So that is the one concern that a lot of people have. And you're in India or wherever. The homestays in Bhutan are not only clean... but they're also very, very inclusive in terms of how they indulge in conversations with you and how you understand what they're doing for the community. And that's where, the whole concept of what we spoke earlier is that the slow travel, that means meeting people, understanding their stories. It is not an owner-centric. It's a community-centric homestay, which is very beautiful. Have you read on Bhutan, like, what has been your... Have you read about anything in Bhutan? This question is very random.
I came across a really beautiful fact about it. I'm not sure it's pertinent to homestays or travel at all. But my understanding is that they have very few hospitals because almost everyone is healthy and no one gets diabetes because they have made sure that no one eats sugar or junk food or too much salt. And they restrict themselves to what is available locally. Like they're always eating their yak cheese and whatever grows close to them. So they have built an immunity in such a way that they don't fall ill frequently. And I think that's the sense of community that you brought up some time ago. I think it is so deep rooted among them that it shows in their very fabric of life.
You just spoke about the food, yak cheese. Have you tried the
Yes.
yak cheese?
As a matter of fact, I haven't, but I sure want
You
to.
can't use it in Mexican food.
No.
Yeah,
That would not be
but
good.
the yak cheese is I mean, I haven't tried it, but have you heard anything about the food of Bhutan other than the yak cheese?
I have heard that there is not much variety, and it is, I mean, they stick to what their own cuisine is. So it's I'm a big foodie, and you know, that is
Of
something I'm
course you
not
are.
very excited about, that you know, I won't get to try too much variety of food, but I would still look forward to trying something that is local to that region.
There are two, three reasons for it. I mean, Bhutan is a mountainous country, first of all. So growing a lot of vegetables becomes difficult. And also, the Buddhist religion kind of is a peaceful religion, right? Relation of the Buddhist people with the surroundings is also very peaceful. So up till certain amount of time, they were not allowed to cut meat in the country. So the Buddhists did not, but the Hindus did. I mean, the people from Nepal did. So if you look at the dynamic of population in Bhutan, it's 95% are Buddhist, 3% are Hindus from Nepal. That is growing now because they wanted people to come and start businesses. And only 2 or 3% are other religions. So these people who are Hindus from Nepal, they are allowed to cut chicken or fish. The Buddhists can't. So for a lot of time, these people ate only dry meat because the meat would come from India and it would be preserved. And that's what their cuisine is mostly based on dry kind of meat.
Got it.
I do love meat at all.
I do.
So
So I
So,
look
like,
forward to
one more thing,
that.
you would get trout because there's mountains and there are rivers, but not so much. The fish doesn't come a lot.
So are you trying to say most of the local population there is vegetarian also?
They eat a lot of meat, but which is
They don't.
dry
Got
and
it.
which might not be to our palate, the Indian palate. But because we spend time in these homestays, which have beautiful, fresh produce, the same spinach that you eat in India, it tastes very different than the spinach you eat in Bhutan because it's so fresh.
Oh yeah, I can
I don't a
imagine.
vegetarian in Bhutan, so you know, with the limited option that I have.
It would be a good place to go for like a cleanse, like a
Yeah,
system
cleanse of
cleanse.
everything.
There's also one more thing that I'm slightly concerned about the travel there is how are the roads? Like I do have a little bit of a mountain sickness, so I am certainly concerned about the entire terrain being you know, mountainous.
Or if you take a woman, you will sleep through the journey. You don't want to sleep
But
through
isn't that the beautiful
the
part?
journey. The idea is that the roads are not only well built, but because they are so well built, the same road, if I had to do between a Simla and Manali, I would, if I have a mountain sickness or a motion sickness, I would at least throw up twice or thrice. Bhutan people don't throw up usually
Oh,
because the
thank
roads are so
God.
good.
All right.
But the entire country is mountainous.
Yes.
I mean, the only piece of land which is straight plain is the airfield, airstrip. That's the only. That's what they joke about in Bhutan. So me, the whole idea of this trip also is to take you through the valleys of Bhutan, and we do three valleys here, and all the three valleys have their beautiful homestays.
Oh,
I
wow.
mean, the first homestay in Bhutan was started in a valley called the Ha Valley, which is like the Nubra Valley. Have you heard of Nubra Valley in Ladakh?
No, I
You've
haven't.
been busy cooking all the time.
Also, let's make sure my geography teacher doesn't ever hear this podcast.
But the Nubra Valley comes after you pass the Khardungla Pass, which is the highest motorable road in India, right? Similarly, the Ha Valley comes after you cross some pass, which I don't remember now. but it comes after that pass. Few passes. I'll pass that. But it comes after that, and it is the highest motor road in Bhutan. And it's beautiful. Like when you actually go above the clouds, and then you descend into this valley where the last outpost of the military is there. And guess which military is there in Bhutan?
The Indian.
Indian military. Yeah. Because India is like a brother, and they have a certain issue with China, and China doesn't want, or Bhutan doesn't want China to encroach its land, and India makes sure that doesn't happen. Right. You know.
Yeah.
The Ha Valley is also a place where you know, the first homestay of Bhutan started, and it's a lovely place. It's called Swarnam Zingkham. I can't still pronounce it well. But that place set the bar of how homestays in Bhutan should be, because your concern was like how clean or how comfortable.
Right.
And if you go there, it can be compared to a 4-star hotel, you know.
Oh, wow. Nice.
But it's an old house, you know, like the old wadas of Peshwas in Pune or the mahals in Rajasthan, where all rooms are of different size.
Mm-hmm.
So group generally, we throw the keys. We don't give a key to a person. We throw the key and whatever lottery comes, it comes. So no one fights in between themselves.
Yes.
So we take you to that homestay for a one night stay. But that is how our homestays are in Bhutan. So we have one in Dumra homestay in Punaka, where, you know, the picture that you might have seen on Anubhav's website.
Oh, yes. Itinerary. Yes. That
remember
is
the picture?
Beautiful. Yes.
It's like a temple
the
in
breakfast.
The evening.
Oh, right,
Yeah. So that's called the Punaka Zong. And what
the
reference of the breakfast is that in the morning they lay out the breakfast on a platform which looks over the Punaka Zong.
Oh, wow.
And in the evening, of course, there are drinks that can happen.
Yeah.
So also what happens between a 10-night Anubhav itinerary and a 6-night Rahagar itinerary is Rahagar itineraries are not for groups, they are more for individuals.
Got it.
So to answer your earlier question that can you travel solo, you can on a Rahagar itinerary, but it'll be very expensive because one car, one guide for you, which is very expensive. Rather than that, if you can join a smaller group and maybe just leave midway, it also is possible.
So you will be able to tailor the entire tour based on, got it.
Yes. But you will still be a part of the Anubhav group.
Yeah.
Unless you have 4 people of your own, that kind of cost, the cost becomes a little nicer to contribute.
Right, yeah. It gets split that way.
That can be a Rahagar itinerary of 6 to 7 nights. So even when we talk about these 3 places of Paro, Thimphu and Bhutan, if you stay in hotels there, it's one way of staying, but you don't want, you know, Hindi music coming from the room next to you, right?
Right.
Or an auntie drying towels in the balcony.
Yes.
You know? So the idea of going to Bhutan is about feeling Bhutan.
Right.
It's about understanding a new country in a new way and not feeling exactly at home, because some travel philosopher once said, I hate feeling at home when I travel abroad.
Right.
So, like, that's why we're going to a new place, right? Maybe a new place in India or a new place everywhere in the world. You want to feel new.
Yeah.
And the newness comes from staying with these people who have been there for a long, long time. Just doing that thing.
Yeah, and you get to know their story and, you know, how it's like, how it's really like to be a part of that region. So you do prefer staying in homestays, or would you like recommend it to first-time travelers to go the homestay route, especially the ones you guys pick?
Yeah, so because the homestays that we pick are really curated, and I know that curated word is overused, they are places where the bed is of a certain size and the toilets are super clean.
Oh, wow.
And you feel like you're staying in like a 4-star hotel, and I put this point in the beginning also. But what we are trying to achieve here is a good combination between hotels and homestays.
Right.
So you get the home-cooked food, because the biggest problem in Bhutan or anywhere in the world is what food you eat in the night.
Right.
And when it's cooked at home, and that can be any local food,
yeah,
it's just a much healthier and tastier version of the restaurant food, you know.
Right, that's very comforting.
Yeah, and you have that at least 5 nights in this trip. So 5 nights of that trip, of this trip, you're staying in homestays which cook for you.
That's very good to know. And I've always been curious, do the owners of these houses stay on site? Like, are they always around?
It's more like a home because the owners are constantly present there.
Right.
And they work with communities like some of the homestays do not grow their own vegetables, even if they have the land to grow it. They'll probably ask a neighbor to grow them. Do not make their own milk. They will
Got it.
probably ask a neighbor to or a villager or to kind of buy two cows and get the
Oh,
milk from
wow.
them. So
Yeah.
when you go and stay with them, the entire village is
Right.
happy, not just the homestay owner. That's the idea of Bhutan and us
Yeah.
together.
That's a good feeling for sure.
Yeah, so staying on the good feeling, when do you want to send your documents to get a permit to go to Bhutan?
Oh, wow. I'm glad you brought this up. I had no clue we needed a visa to
Many
go to
people don't know that,
Bhutan.
yeah.
Oh, wow.
So there's no visa, but what we have to do for you before you travel and for each and every traveler is Bhutan charges a certain fee per day, which goes in the development of the tourism sites.
Got it.
And I'm glad that that fee is charged because it regulates the flow of people into the
Right,
country.
right.
And so that fee goes into getting a permit.
Right.
So we have to mention exactly how many days, what's the route of your itinerary. And after that, the government issues a permit in your name and you travel into the country with your passport and that permit. That's it.
Got it. So I'm hoping you guys will be doing all of the boring paperwork for
All of
us.
that.
All
All of that.
right.
While you cook a meal for me right now in
All
the
right. I'm
canteen.
convinced. All right.
You're convinced to cook or you're convinced to go. So
Both.
let's do it then.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much, Sejal.
The
Thank you for
pleasure is
coming
all
in.
mine.
Thank you. Thank you again. And Bhutan is waiting.
Absolutely. So am I.